On this Father's Day, I thought it would be fitting to have a lesson devoted to an unlikely hero as a father. But he gives the most valuable advice that any father could. And this text is 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 10. Samuel served the Lord by helping Eli the priest, who was by that time almost blind. In those days, the Lord hardly ever spoke directly to people, and he did not appear to them in dreams very often. But one night, Eli was asleep in his room, and Samuel was sleeping on a mat near the sacred chest in the Lord's house. They had not been asleep very long when the Lord called out Samuel's name. "Here I am," Samuel answered. Then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, what do you want?" "I didn't call you," Eli answered. "Go back to bed." Samuel went back. Again, the Lord called out Samuel's name. Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am," he said. "What do you want?" Eli told him, "Son, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." The Lord had not spoken to Samuel before, and Samuel did not recognize the voice. So when the Lord called out his name for the third time, Samuel went to Eli again and said, "Here I am, what do you want?" Eli finally realized that it was the Lord who was speaking to Samuel. So he said, "Go back and lie down. If someone speaks to you again, answer, 'I'm listening, Lord. What do you want me to do?'" Once again, Samuel went back and lay down. The Lord then stood beside Samuel and called out as he had done before, "Samuel, Samuel." "I'm listening," Samuel answered. "What do you want me to do?" I want to focus on the relationship between the high priest Eli and his relationship to the temple gopher Samuel. Samuel placed himself under Eli's inspection and direction. Since God was not revealing his will to and by prophets much back then, Samuel, just being inside the temple, doing whatever it is that he was called upon to do, well, that was as close to God as anyone was getting those days. So Eli made it a point to assure a place for Samuel. Samuel was quartered in a private cell in the tabernacle court. And the tabernacle court was set up kind of like a dorm by today's standards. And that was designated area for the sanctuary priests. So that's actually pretty nice. Samuel's got a private room right in the same section with the priests. I want to point something out in verse 3 that might not look that obvious. We are looking at Samuel sleeping on a mat near the sacred chest in the Lord's house. The sacred chest is the Ark of the Covenant. Now, why would they mention something like that if it wasn't incredibly important? I think that even before Samuel was conceived, Eli encountered something in his mother Hannah that he had never seen before and was never going to forget. Because when Eli met Hannah, it was on a day that she was praying as if her very heart was rending in two. She was desperate for the Lord God, desperate for his command over her. She had an unspoken challenge as far as Eli was concerned. But as he was watching her, Eli noticed that Hannah possessed this deep yearning for this holy Lord God to lead her, to protect her. And as it turned out, later, this prayer continued for her son. And I think Eli decided to make it a priority to give Samuel a room as close to that ark as he could. This was a kid that was so eager for a confirmation of leading and protection from God that Eli found it almost contagious and just had to make sure Samuel was near that ark. Samuel was very much like a son to Eli. And Samuel was truly a one-of-a-kind kid. Now, if I were to take verses 4 through 8 and place my own son in the same position, here is how I think the story would go. Here's the Lord. He's calling, sends out a brilliant light, removes all the blankets off of his bed, touches Sean with ice-cold hands to make sure he gets up. Sean growls, kicks, grabs the blankets back, buries himself with them. The Lord calls again. This time, Sean sits up and yells, "What?" But he doesn't move. Lord calls a third time. By this time, Sean's really getting angry. He storms out of his room, snarls a "what" at his parents. "Sean, we didn't call you." Sean then angrily argues for several minutes that surely we must have called him. And the Lord calls a fourth time, and then Sean turns, looks straight up, and yells, "What?" But we see Samuel's temperament never changes in the story. He asks exactly the same question, exactly the same way, without any frustration. He's so little confused, but he's not angry at Eli. He doesn't seem desperate. He doesn't argue. He simply asks a question, receives his answer, turns around and walks out. I think Samuel was a purpose-driven kid before purpose-driven was a moniker. This is a guy who faithfully discharges his duties as a servant to the priests, as a servant to the Levites. And because he had earned the respect of so many in that dormitory, Samuel was treated like one of them. Samuel wore a linen ephod. And he was called out to be an intercessor of the people before the Lord. This little boy proved himself worthy of respect because he had a reputation as an upright and honorable and very mature for his age boy. But who he devoted himself and all of his services to as much as to anybody, it was to Eli. I picture Samuel always checking to make sure that Eli saw him and that he approved. Because Eli was Samuel's spiritual, vocational, and foster father. Every law of God, every personal instruction, every Israelite story came to Samuel through one source. That's Eli, the high priest. Now, Eli, as a father, as a biological father, not so much. He had two biological sons, but he didn't keep a close watch on them. And because of that failure to establish that spiritual sightedness in his own family, his physical ability to see, to literally see, was beginning to dim. But Eli was still a teachable guy as far as Jehovah was concerned. And I think we see this when a teachable moment arises. Because Eli took the initiative, took hold of that teachable moment for Samuel's life, and gave him the groundwork and the guidance that Samuel needed. And the drama that comes up in this story is just like a commencement address. I love what happens here. We have Samuel. He makes a plausible but faulty assumption three times that he was being summoned before dawn by Eli. Eli drew the plausible but faulty conclusion that Samuel must be dreaming. But everything changes once Samuel comes back a third time and is certain he heard his name being called. Because Eli suddenly wakes up to the idea of what is truly happening. The Lord himself is actually physically revealing himself to that small boy, Samuel, with an audible voice and with a prophetic word. Eli realizes that Samuel, in a sense, has graduated. And now he's ready to begin this new life to go do whatever it is that God has called him to do. Eli finally apprehends that call, and he gives Samuel the most important lesson anyone can teach another. Eli tells Samuel, go back to bed. When you hear the call again, here's what you're supposed to respond with. Speak, O Lord, for this servant hears you. Why? Later on in verse 18, Eli says that the Lord shall do what is good in his sight. So Eli finally realizes what his role is to Samuel. It is to point Samuel to an understanding and a personal experience with the presence of the Lord. You'd think that this is what a high priest does all along. But all Eli has done all along is religion. Here, Eli truly introduces Samuel, his foster son, to Almighty God, brings them together, and Samuel becomes the prophet that we hear about in the rest of the book. Eli fulfilled his duty as a father. Every one of us has some sort of an Eli that came to our life. We need to thank and praise God for these men. Not because they were perfect, and Eli certainly wasn't, but because somewhere down the road, there was a time when an Eli imparted to every one of us a spiritual sightedness. Lord Jesus, I thank you for a couple of Elis that came into my life. I want to thank you for Robert Reich. I want to thank you for Rufus Houston. I want to thank you for these men who did not give up on me, who prayed for me, who pointed out passages for me to read, who helped me to think outside the box, who never marginalized me, and who took the time to talk to me when I wanted to talk. I thank you for all of the Elis that have come in every one of our lives to impart that spiritual sightedness. We thank and praise you, Father, on this Father's Day. We hold you up. We thank you, we praise you, we honor you this day and every day. You created us, you sustain us. You pick us up when we fall. You lead us, guide us, teach us, sometimes scold and discipline us. But it's to bring us through a stage in our development, a time of growth, a time to grow us up to become who you have always seen us to be. And that power comes because your Son Jesus came. We thank and honor him this day as well. Continue to go with us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.